Tonight is going to be another lesson from the upper room. So if you wouldn't mind, please turn to Galatians chapter 5. The title of this one tonight is Understanding the Fruit of the Spirit. And that sounds like a rather in-depth teaching, and it's really not tonight. I mean, there's no way in one service you can go into depth with about the fruit of the Spirit. I have a teaching series. I believe it's entitled Bearing the Fruit of the Spirit. And it's got something to do with the fruit of the Spirit. It's out there. But anyway, in this teaching series, what I do is I go through and I do a very detailed teaching about the fruit of the Spirit. And it's so much more detailed than what I'm going to be able to touch on tonight. And we're going to read this passage in Galatians. And I'm going to share a little bit about it. And then I'm going to get into the things that the Lord said to me during prayer. In Galatians chapter 5, in verse 22 it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering..." Stop. Back up. Let's take a look in verse 16. It says, "Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Verse 16 is speaking of a choice. It is not speaking of something that's going to just happen. When it says, "Walk in the Spirit," that means you have the ability to do this or to not do this. And remember, this was written to Christians. So therefore, walking in the Spirit does not mean that the Holy Ghost is going to just take over and make me do something. Walking in the Spirit, that really should not be a capital S Holy Spirit. It should be a lowercase s for my born-again spirit. And to, modernize this a little bit, it would say this: live according to who you become in Christ, according to your new nature, your born-again spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So what he's telling you right here is this: yeah, you may be born again, and it's great if you are. However, you need to understand, you're still going to have issues with your flesh. There will still be things that you have to conquer. If God were going to just do this, this verse, in other words, if God were just going to move into your life and just take over and, you know, "You will not fulfill the lust of the flesh," whatever that is, for you, for anybody, then this verse wouldn't be in here. Because this verse is presenting to us an option. Now what's interesting, and I didn't write this verse down, but in the Old Testament, and it's in Deuteronomy, you know, God is speaking through Moses to the people, and he reviews the law. And he says, "I set before you this day life and death. Choose life." This is a variation on that theme. He says, walk in the Spirit. Make a choice to live according to who you become in Christ, according to your born-again spirit, your new nature, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, this right here gives you a huge revelation about the times when Christians do things they shouldn't. It's because they're not choosing to live according to who they become in Christ. Now, that, you know, that's for all of us. Because he says, look, if you'll live according to who you are in Jesus, if you'll live according to that born-again life in you, you're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's not going to happen. You won't do it. So for somebody, a Christian now, to say, "Well, you know, I just couldn't help it." That's not true. Now, you may not understand how you can help it, but it doesn't change Scripture. You still could have helped it. And so he says, look, make this decision to live according to your born-again nature, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Then if you look in verse 19, he begins identifying the contrast between the lust of the flesh and walking in the Spirit. And let me say it like this, verse 19. If you fulfill the lusts of the flesh, those demonstrated works, when they manifest, will be things like this: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Now, I get a kick out of that such like thing because he's going through this list and he's thinking, I don't have enough paper for this. So he just says, and everything else, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past. You ever talk to your kids like that? I've told you before. Well, that's what's happening here. He said, now listen, guys, we've talked about this in the past. He said that they which do such things means those who continue to choose to live like this. He said, they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, you don't go to heaven. Now see, that is such a challenge to so many Christians because there are a lot of Christians doing this stuff. There are a lot of Christians who are choosing to live with these things. They justify it. They defend it. They find churches that approve it. They'll find preachers that will preach that it's okay. And they try to rest in that. Well, you're just searing your conscience. Because the day's going to come when you're going to stand before God. And He's going to say, you remember what I told you there in Galatians chapter 5? Well, here it is. You made the choice to walk away from me and to live like this. I'm sorry, you don't get in. He says, the people that make the decision to live like this, they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And see, the reason that we know that he's writing this, I mean, we know the whole book's written to Christians anyway. Why warn lost people? Well, you better not live like that, because living like that isn't what sends lost people to hell. It's rejecting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You know, hey, if you're a lost person, we expect you're going to do stuff like this. We're not surprised when you do things like this because you're lost. But when you're born again, we expect you're not going to do things like this because these things are opposite of who you become in Christ. So he says, I'm going to warn you again, guys. Goes through this list. He says, now, if you keep living like this, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Then he says, however, verse 22, when you make a decision to live according to your born-again spirit and that new nature that you received from Jesus Christ, the fruit of your born-again spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, or in other words, if our life is based upon the very nature of God, this born-again Spirit, then for crying out loud, let us also choose to live that way. If you're a Christian, live like it. And he's saying here, if you're a Christian, if you've accepted Jesus Christ, verse 24, then you've crucified the flesh with its affections and lust. That doesn't mean that you... I mean, he just said in verse 16, walk in the Spirit or you're going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. And in verse 24, what he's trying to do is emphasize the fact that compared to your born-again spirit, the life of God in you, that new nature, those things, the flesh, its affections, those things are dead. Those things are as powerless as a you know, dead dog on the road. A dead dog on the road can't bite you. These things are dead compared to the life of God on the inside you. So therefore, if you start choosing to live this way, according to those things, you're choosing to live according to death, very simply put. The fruit of the Spirit, as he's writing, explaining all of this, where he talks about walk in the Spirit, you're not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 22 on, the fruit of the Spirit, and he begins describing aspects, love, joy, peace, etc. and so forth. This represents something that is our choice. Now here's what I mean. If we want to demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit, if we want to live this way, we can. But there's a catch. Religion has messed us up so bad, I mean the body of Christ, when it comes to this fruit of the Spirit thing. And what we've done is we look at these words and we see, okay, there's love, there's joy, there's peace, there's long-suffering, there's gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Okay, So that's what I need to do. All right, here's what I'll do. So we go and we get a Webster's dictionary, and we open up Webster's, or maybe we get a Strong's Concordance, and we read these things. And we go, okay, that's what I got to be. That's what I'm supposed to be. All right. But because there's a capital S there, so many Christians have come to the conclusion, well, I'm waiting on God. When the Holy Spirit wants me to demonstrate these things, then I will demonstrate these things. But until then, you know, I'm just going to be an old boogerhead. I mean, I'll just be mean. There won't be any love. There won't be any of this other stuff here because I'm waiting on the Holy Spirit. I can't help it that I'm the way I am because the Holy Spirit has not moved on me to produce the fruit of the Spirit. Now see, that kind of logic is totally convoluted because there's nothing about this that God doesn't want demonstrated through you now. Why in the world would God sit up on His throne and take a look at this and say, okay, well, there's gentleness. You know, I think I'm going to make Barry wait about 30 years before I move on him with this gentleness. That's weird. Oh, I think I'm going to wait, you know, for about 15 years before I let Kathy have this peace in here, before that fruit starts. That just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. See what I'm saying? Because this is a part of your born-again spirit, you're not waiting for the Holy Spirit to force it through, but you are waiting for it to come forth out of your spirit. And that's what we can control. We have a choice as to how all this works. Now, you're going to understand this very clearly by the time I finish reading everything that God was saying during prayer. So let me go ahead and begin reading this. Anyone can be nice to others and seem to bear the fruit of the Spirit when things are going well. But actions, behavior, and kind speech during times of peace and substance are a mask covering what is actually going on inside a person. The fruit of the Spirit is most evident during times of great adversity and trial. In other words, everybody loves somebody sometime. You understand? I kind of dated myself with that one, didn't I? Everybody can be nice. You want to see people nice? Throw a birthday party for them. They're going to be nice to everybody. Give them a Christmas present. They'll be nice to you. Honor them in some public way. They'll be nice. Everybody's happy then. And speaking of the Christmas thing, it's amazing because I've observed people over the years at Christmas functions. Everybody's nice until a couple of weeks later. Then they kind of revert back to who they really are. But hey, you know, you don't want to get somebody mad at you and they take their present and go home. You know, at least get the thing first. So we're all capable, and I don't care who you are, we're all capable of, quote, demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit when everything's going okay. When everything's going fine. When there's no adversity. When the bills are paid. When the pastor did a good job with his sermon. We can all be good and nice. And we can be all these things when everything's going okay. But when stuff goes sour, when bad things begin to happen, when you start feeling pressure, now I don't care what the pressure is, pressure at work, pressure at home, doesn't matter. When you start feeling circumstances, when things begin to happen and you sit back wondering, I just don't know how much I can take. You know what? Seems to me like you have a lack of peace. I just don't know how much more I can take. Well, maybe some temperance. I can't put up with that woman one more minute. There's some long suffering here. My life stinks. Why in the world did I marry you? Huh? Joy. We need some joy. You understand? That's when the mask comes off. and reality shines forth. Anybody, when things are good, can bear the fruit of the Spirit. No, you're not. You're bearing the fruit of endorphins. Those chemicals that make you feel good on the inside. The brain secretes them when you're happy, when you're laughing. One of the best ways to get those things that change your mood is to laugh. Because when you start laughing, even if you fake the laugh, if you fake the laugh long enough, the brain interprets it as genuine and begins releasing endorphins, those chemicals, into your body, and it changes your mood. Endorphins are like a chemical sub-cousin to morphine. And so you'll feel good. You get high, man. Dude, laugh some more. So when the endorphins are flowing, everybody's happy. But when things go bad, when just plain stuff, that's when the mask comes off and you find out what's really going on. Now, when you go back and you read the life of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there were times when you can tell he got angry. Specifically, the thing with the money changers in the temple, he got angry. But that was a righteous anger. And there is such a thing as a righteous anger. But you can still bear the fruit of the Spirit during righteous anger. You say, well, I don't understand that. Well, pray about it. And God will explain it to you. So the fruit of the Spirit is most evident during times of great adversity and trial. In other words, how much of it has been developed in you, how much of it you're really walking in, comes forth during those challenging times. Well, he went on and said, being born again does not mean the fruit of the Spirit is coming forth. A person can be born again his entire life and never truly bear the fruit of his Spirit, the new nature. He may bear the fruit of a willful self-control to demonstrate tolerance, but that is not bearing the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit can only come forth from a born-again spirit that has matured in God. When a person matures in the Lord, bearing the fruit of the Spirit does not require effort. It comes forth automatically because the nature of God in that person's spirit is dominating his life. You ever been around Christians? I'm trying to be nice, but they're so unlovable. They make themselves so, why do they do that? I'm trying to be long-suffering. I'm trying to be temperance. I'm trying to be all these things. But you know what? You don't have to try so hard when it's just there. You don't have to put forth so much effort. You don't have, well, like he said here, when a person matures in the Lord, bearing the fruit of the Spirit does not require effort. It comes forth automatically because the nature of God in that person's spirit is dominating his life. Now, think about that and the way this has been presented so much over the years. We hear teaching on it. Well, you need to love. And we say, okay, I'm going to love. I'm going to love. You need joy. Ooh, I got joy. You need the peace. Yeah, oh, I feel good. You need long-suffering. Oh, I'll do that. Yeah. In other words, we're taught to create this by ourselves. This is what you need to be. Okay, well, I'll do that. It's like training a dog to sit. You know, the dog, the only reason the dog sits is because he hopes he's getting a milk bone. That's it. He doesn't care if he makes you happy or not. He's a dog. Well, we're like trained dogs. You know, be nice. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're doing it out of willful self-control. But it's not coming out of our spirit. And as he's sharing this with me, it's like, yeah. Being born again does not mean the fruit of the Spirit is coming forth. And it's incredible how that when we get born again, anybody who is a Christian who's nice to us, we just say, wow, now that's the fruit of the Spirit right there. We don't know that for sure. Not really, because they're being nice. Let's go let the air out of their tires. And then drive away. Now, I'm joking on that part, okay? I'm starting to learn my lesson.
You better watch what you say from the pulpit, because
if you're not used to me by now, you know, I'm sorry. So anyway, we look at Christians who are nice people and we just assume this is the fruit of the Spirit. Well, it might be. Granted, yes, it might be. However, being born again does not mean the fruit of the Spirit is coming forth. It just means you're born again. Bearing the fruit of the Spirit is something that comes after you're born again. Listen to how he explained this. It's really interesting. He said, when a fruit tree is planted as a seed, it takes a long time, sometimes many years, before fruit is available on the limbs. The seed may indeed be a peach seed. The tree may indeed be a peach tree. But the fruit of the tree cannot be picked until the tree matures to the place of bearing fruit. And I thought that's such a perfect analogy. Because for us, it's the same thing. When we get born again, the seed of His life has been sown on the inside of us. But that doesn't mean we're bearing the fruit of that life. It just means we have that life. And now what we're supposed to do, well, in fact, Peter talked about desiring the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. If growth wasn't necessary, why tell me to grow? If I didn't see something in Scripture that talked about, or if I didn't need to grow, then I wouldn't see something in Scripture that talks about going from the milk to the meat. If I weren't needing to grow spiritually, I wouldn't see something in Scripture about, I'd like to give you meat, but I can't. I can only give you milk. So therefore, growth has to take place. And using the analogy of a fruit tree, when I'm born again, the seed of His life is planted on the inside of me, but that does not mean I'm bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Listen, if you learn as a Christian, if you learn to be nice to people, you will get promoted. They'll put you in places, in positions of authority because you're nice, you get along with people, and everybody likes you. But that doesn't mean you're born again. Man, there are lost people out there who are nice. But that doesn't, they're for sure not bearing the fruit of the Spirit. So, what we see is not always what's really happening. He said, do not misunderstand this. Just because you are a Christian does not mean you are bearing the fruit of your born-again spirit. Until you mature in me, you will never bear the fullness of that fruit. Do not forget, since this fruit only comes forth out of your born-again spirit, then this fruit cannot be produced out of a human spirit separate from my nature. As a human, it is impossible for you to generate and produce by yourself anything that is of me. Thus, the fruit of the Spirit is divine in origin. Therefore, do not allow yourself to be fooled into thinking that just because you understand the natural definition of the words for the fruit, you understand the spiritual concept. And this is so interesting, unique, because it opens a door that could be very confusing, to a room that could be very confusing to a lot of people. In other words, you mean if I understand what these words mean, that doesn't mean that I understand the concept of what they are. Absolutely. Somebody asked me here not too long ago about God's love, agape. And they were specifically asking about the word agape. Wanted to know if I had done any study and so forth on that particular word. And I wish I had printed that out and brought it with me tonight. I'll share with you at a later time. But anyway, real briefly, to kind of capsulize, One of the things that God has shown me just over recent time, I don't know within how long, but it's almost like, okay, let me illustrate it this way. It's like I'm climbing up a wall and there's a hole in the wall. And I peek through the hole and I've got a glimpse of what's on the other side. And what's on the other side is God's love. And the thing about God's love is you cannot define it. You can call it agape, you can call it whatever, I don't care, use all the Greek, Hebrew, English, Latin, Russian, Chinese, I don't care, words you want, you can't define it. Because God is love. And love is God. Not I love Kathy, Kathy loves me. We're talking God love, okay? Now, because of that, it is incapable to use words to define and describe that love. The only thing you can do is press so far into God and His presence that you begin to experience that love. And it's like I have had a long distance glimpse of it, and I understand it now like I never did before. And what I understand cannot be put into words. You have to press into it to experience it. That's why when you talk about the fruit of the Spirit, you can't restrict it to word definitions, to the Webster's Dictionary definitions, to the Greek and the Hebrew concordances and lexicons and all that. Those words do everything they can. But they can't capture God's love. And they can't capture the fruit of the Spirit. It's something that you have to experience. The downside to this is when you stand up and you talk like this, there are no Christians who know that. I'm not saying there aren't any, but the concept, there are so few. There are so few Christians that have been into that promised land to get that fruit that we're having to rely on the other side of Jordan, this side of Jordan, and do the best we can to figure this thing out. And so we come up with word definitions and so forth, and we kind of leave it at that. We have to press so far into God that we begin to experience it. And the thing is, once you get there and you start experiencing it, you're not going to be able to explain it. It just becomes who you are. Like Jesus. And he went on and he said, the fruit of the Spirit is a part of my life in you. It is a description of my divine character. Human effort will eventually fail, but a developed born-again spirit will not fail to produce fruit. You do not have to remind yourself to breathe, and you do not have to remind your heart to beat. These things take no conscious effort on your part because they are an automatic action out of who you are in your humanity. Likewise, bearing the outward characteristics of my nature in you will become more automatic as you conform more and more to Jesus. In other words, like he said before, you don't have to keep putting forth the effort. I'm trying so hard to be nice. I'm trying so hard to be long-suffering. You just are. I'm trying so hard to have peace. You just have. I'm trying so hard to just love. You will. It just becomes who you are. It becomes your existence. It becomes you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You've conformed to the image of Christ. Or you're closer to it than you ever have been. And it just be, you bear the fruit. The fruit tree, it just stands out there and it grows and has branches. All right? Now, if everything's working the way it's supposed to, you know, water, sun, blah, blah, etc. You know what? that tree doesn't have to stand there and think, oh, come on, apples. Come on. Apples! When's the last time you heard a tree grunt? No. The tree just stands there and bears fruit. And then it says, would anybody like some apples? These branches are getting kind of heavy. Hey, you over there, would you like some peaches? Hey, you over there, would you like some berries? See what I'm getting at? The tree just does its thing, and the fruit's there. Because that's a part of what the tree is. The Bible says that we are supposed to be trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. And as trees, we're supposed to be bearing the fruit of the Spirit. But if we do not conform to the image of the master tree, we're not going to bear the fruit. And again, if you think back, if you've been raised in church, we really haven't been taught this. We've been taught to be long-suffering. We've been taught to love. We've been taught to have peace. We've been taught to do it. But we haven't been properly encouraged and taught, it ain't going to happen if you don't get in there with Jesus. You can try all you want. Peace. Peace. Joy. Come on, joy. Where are you? It's not going to be there. And you'll try, and then finally the day's going to come. And you're like, I'm sick and tired of being long-suffering. I ain't going to long-suffer no more. But you never get like that when long-suffering is who you are. When joy is who you are. When peace is who you are. When the fruit is who you are. You don't have to, you know, work. The only thing you have to work at is getting into His presence. Go ahead and turn over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. See, this, what I'm sharing with, well, what the Lord shared with me that I'm passing on to you, do you understand this takes the pressure off of us? In other words, I don't have to wake up every morning thinking, well, I got to be temperance again today. Well, dadgum, I got to be gentle again. I'm tired of all this gentle stuff. You don't have to do it like that. All you have to do is get in there with the Lord and spend time with Him, and the fruit begins growing. The fruit begins to come forth. It takes time. It takes time. Thing is, in the realm of the Spirit, you can accelerate this by spending time with Him. In Colossians chapter 3, in verse 1, it says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on earth. Now, relative to this message tonight, I set my affection on Him so that the fruit of His life in me begins to come forth. What I don't do is set my affection on self-effort to be nice to people and then call it the fruit of the Spirit. Now, having read these verses, he said, if you do not seek to develop yourself spiritually, the fruit of your new nature will not come forth. Instead of trying to figure out what the words mean, just seek the presence of your Savior and learn from me as I glorify Him in you. Instead of trying to define the words in your mind, let me bring forth His life manifested in you, and your life will be a day-to-day definition of the fruit. The glory of God's life will rise from within and you will begin to see Him for who He really is. Praise God. The pressure's gone. I don't have to try so hard. I just need to get in there with Him and fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit starts glorifying Jesus in me. And the fruit starts developing. The fruit starts growing. The fruit of who I am in Christ. Who Christ is in me. It starts coming out. Here's the thing. You keep pressing in like this, you can't stop the fruit from coming forth. You can't prevent it. Because the more time you spend with Him, the more that fruit's going to come out. That's just the way it works. You know that song years ago? He's still working on me to make me the way I ought to be. Whatever, whatever, whatever. He's still working on me. I remember when I heard that song, my impression was this. You just go about your life, day-to-day life. Just do your thing. Just go ahead. He's working in you. Well, yeah, but have you ever been around Christians, people that have been Christian for a long time, and you're still looking for some fruit? Jesus said, you know a tree by its fruit. I have news for you. God is not working in you unless you are allowing Him to work. You're born again. You're going to heaven. He's doing as much as He can. But when I make a decision and I say, I don't want to be like me. I want to be like you. He says, not a problem. Come on in. Throne room's open. And I go in there and I start fellowshipping with Him. Having ongoing fellowship with the Holy Spirit. So, here it comes. Now He's working in me to will and to do of His good pleasure. Now He's able to start fertilizing so that the fruit starts coming forth. And then just like Jesus said, well, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If, like He said right here, instead of trying to define the words in your mind, let me bring forth His life manifested in you, and your life will be a day-to-day definition of the fruit. I will define the fruit of the Spirit as Christ's life in me is coming forth. Praise God. I want to be that definition. Hallelujah. So anyway, those are just some things that the Holy Spirit shared with me about the fruit of the Spirit. It sure blessed me, and I hope it's blessed you as well.